Okay, as I mentioned earlier, we did get requests from both San Ramon and Moraga Arinda for actuarial information that was used to calculate the rates for this last year. We've worked with, they've both hired John Bartel. We've, in accordance with our policy, had John Bartel sign the confidentiality agreement, and the information has been provided from Siegel to John Bartel. I was at the Administrators Institute last week. Always interesting to see what else is going on with all the other counties in the state. Actually, the most interesting discussion around the dinner table was the funding status of Puerto Rico's defined benefit plan.
6%.
I thought it was 4.5% funding.
It's going down.
Yeah, it was good. It was six when Roberto got there, I think. And
they
then
don't
it
have
dropped.
Enough alpha.
Yeah, so, a lot of good discussion that took place there, and there's always something new for us to look at when we get back. The total compensation report is still not here. I think the salary part is probably done. They're working on the benefits, and we had asked that some of the districts that we are losing our staff to be included in that comparison. So we're still in high hopes that we'll get it in the next week. Been saying that since August. Anything, Kurt? Karen?
Okay. Question, have there been drafts that have come
no.
on that report? Nothing?
I have nothing, honestly. I wouldn't be crying if I had a draft.
Okay, outside professional, Barbie.
Thank you.
Thank you. Trustee comments. Okay, we'll start. Jerry?
Just a quick update on CII. We didn't discuss this. I'm not stealing your thunder. Just some interesting comments from a couple of people. One of the keynote speakers was Mary Jo White. She's the SEC chairperson, past prosecuting attorney experience. She's about 5 feet tall and looks to me as if she could, you know, take you down if she wanted to really fast, right to the slammer. You know.
And they wouldn't hit on her anyway.
Enforcement is now a key focal point for the SEC and increased public accountability. She spoke of basically sort of the past philosophy of the SEC being a lot of cases of no admit and no deny. This opportunity to basically say we didn't do anything wrong and we promised not to do it again and everything's fine. And I characterize the new policy as being more of more public hangings because that policy, they're not going to allow the no admit, no deny. Somebody's going to pay. Somebody's going to be identified. Someone's going to have a public problem for what they've done in the past. They have a new proposed requirement, which I thought was interesting, for reporting for companies to report the ratio of their CEO's compensation to average employees' compensation for the organization, which I thought was very interesting. It's in the proposal stage, but it looks to me as if it's going to go flying right through as a
new... It's out for readings. It's out for comments.
Yeah, but it looked like that's what they want, you know, to be able to have that. Another panel was an interesting one. There was a guy there by the name of Loban Jackson, former director of the Home Depot and now J.P. Morgan Chase board member, and basically it started out by saying, so what's new at J.P. Morgan? You know, and it was an interesting insight from the board member who, he may or may not share the feelings of all the other board members, but his candor was pretty interesting. He said he thought one of the key tasks for a board member was to identify the weaknesses of a CEO, because he says every CEO has one or more, and to try and give those some support, because he said there are going to be issues. There was a lot of discussion, a lot of questions as to why they fought so hard to allow Jamie Dimon to continue to be mm-hmm. CEO and chairman of the, and basically came down to because we thought that was the right idea, and we still think that's the right idea. And so it was a very interesting presentation because he seems like a pretty approachable board member, and he said that you should have lots of access to customers and not be afraid to have access to customers. And so I thought it was an interesting conversation. The last panel that I want to just briefly touch on was a couple of CIOs. One was from the Illinois State University's retirement system, which is 42% funded. And he announced started his comments by saying, welcome to Illinois. He described inconsistent funding in Illinois as being the chief detriment to the pension system, not investment returns. A Wisconsin state retirement system is fully funded, whatever, I guess that's what it
what is. What is fully funded in their estimation?
It's 100.
100, yeah, 100. Fully funded.
Okay.
And then I thought people would be interested in this. You could tell he is a big fan of the press because he used a comment that I hadn't heard before, something along these lines. A Wisconsin CEO said regarding day-to-day press criticism, press criticism, you shouldn't forget that press accounts are like history written on ice cubes. So he's not a real fan of the press. But it was an interesting conversation to hear back and forth, that particular panel. So I thought the conference was interesting, and they had some pretty good speakers. And Mary Jo White looks like you wouldn't want to be on her radar screen.
Did the SEC talk about their funding for enforcement?
You know, always, like most people, they said, underfunded, need more. Could always use more, you know, whatever help you can give us.
Obama's proposed more money for them.
But they're always talking about additional resources, and so. Good question. I don't know if they're on the job today, though.
Yeah.
So thank you.
Karen, Rusty, Kurt, me, we're all at the CalPERS seminar last week. These are quick observations that I thought the board would have an interest in based on a variety of speakers. Liability funding level at PERS now estimated by their actuary at 75%. Retirees, they found, are living longer. Over the last 10 years, females up by 1.5 year, males up by 2 years. Kind of interesting. starting in 2015, PERS will provide their covered employers with GASB 68 accounting information for a fee, not for free. And the rationale behind that, by the way, was that they couldn't use trust money for anything other than the benefit of beneficiaries.
I've heard that argument.
There's apparently a possible initiative that there was a fair amount of discussion on to allow public employees to reduce earned benefits for future years of service. I'm sorry, public employers, to reduce earned benefits for future years of service. What has always been normal in the private side. That is, you could change your retirement formula for service rendered beginning next Monday or January 1 or a future date. You can't take away what has already been earned, but you can change the formula in either direction, higher or lower, going forward.
Higher as well as lower?
No, sir.
Yeah, we call it prospective.
And prospectively, you can change the formula.
Huh. Okay.
Now you can only change it higher, by the way. You can always go higher now, but you have a floor if what is generally believed to be the requirement for public plans, you can't go below it. For current employees, we're talking about current.
This is a San Jose issue, right?
I don't know that it comes out of San Jose. There was a lot on San Jose, but
the mayor of San Jose is proposing that being on the ballot next year. In fact,
I don't recall. I guess I'm not recalling any attribution as to who was behind the initiative.
John, let me make. I'm trying to see if I understand this. So, say the contribution rate is 2% at 60. So, are you saying that they can raise, an individual could raise that to 2.5%?
An employer could raise it to 2.5 for service going forward or back.
For service going forward.
Or they could lower it to 1%.
Siegel would love to have 30,000 tiers to calculate.
Wow. Wow.
They have that many for us, don't
they? Wow. Okay.
PERS, this to me was the most interesting of all the various points. PERS has no policy on how to deal with a participating employer like the city of Stockton or Vallejo
or
San Bernardino, which goes bankrupt and quits paying its all or part of its contribution. What is it you do with the obligation tied to the employees of that entity when they quit making contributions? PERS does not have a policy.
Would that be the unfunded liability part?
Well, it would quickly be. There'd be a liability, and presumably in our case, because we're pooled, there would be an unfunded liability. I don't know that anybody's fully funded at this point.
Right.
And future going forward, they're still in the program.
Man.
I'm just saying.
I want to say I read something about stock.
That's not
CalPERS
exactly
was suing. That's
what I got out of the comments.
Yeah, they did.
I'm sorry?
I read something, I want to believe, that CalPERS is suing Stockton.
I think it's
regarding contributions.
Harvey, do you have a more background on this?
Stockton just proposed their bankruptcy plan, and they've worked closely with PERS to do what is opposite of what San Bernardino has done. San Bernardino stopped paying PERS. They've started again now, but they've stopped, and that's a big issue in San Bernardino. Stockton never stopped paying their PERS contributions, and the plan that they came out with a couple days ago basically, you know, settles their debts with the bondholders and compromises bondholders, but does not try to take on CalPERS. Vallejo never did. Vallejo never tried to stop paying PERS benefits. Yeah. It was never an issue in Vallejo about pension benefits. CalPERS does have contingency plans on what to do if the faucet gets turned off, however.
Okay.
Who was the spokesperson there?
I'm trying to recall. I didn't keep a note as to who it was, but I found that surprising enough that I obviously kept a note on it and sharing it now.
Some deputy chief actuary
was it Alan Milligan?
Presentation that came up. I thought it was later in the day.
Was that Milligan?
George Kai was there. He represents Stockton.
It was Rocky and yeah. I would say that's the most likely place that they were discussing that, and they were clearly discussing the bankrupt cities and the issue with PERS and the two separate sides on it.
Yeah. John, was anything on the amortization rate changing for PERS? Did that come up?
Yes. That they were reducing the amortization period, so it would be increasing the amount of contribution required.
Were they going to?
How many years? They're at 30 years. Okay, aren't they
at
30 years? Yeah.
What's that?
They're on negative amortization.
You're talking about the change in the contribution rate. It's going to go up 40 or 50%.
By reducing that? It was 30 years.
It was 30, and I
PERS had a rolling 30 years.
Yeah, that's what Kim's going to.
And they've gotten rid of the rolling part.
They got rid of all actuarial smoothing.
That was 15 years smoothing. Did they change that?
Yeah, they're just going to use market value.
Whoa.
But directly smooth the rate.
So it's still going to be a 30-year, but not a rolling 30-year?
Not rolling.
Yeah, rolling 30-year.
They're moving into that direction. Milligan is forcing the board to start shortening that amortization period.
The issue was for GASB. You might remember when Paul Angelo was telling us about GASB. If they didn't change it, they would no longer be able to use their expected rate of return as their discount rate because they wouldn't be projecting enough contribution on the plan. So in order to do that, they have to shorten the amortization period.
I think he brought that up. Last comment I had was on San Jose. The fact that San Jose is apparently having a terrible time keeping its police numbers in place, that they have had a fairly significant reduction from, no, I didn't write the numbers down, I want to say 1,400 to 1,100, something like that. Anyway, they, you know, it's certainly something you'd want to verify because the speaker may have had his own.
They've lost 30% of the police force.
Yeah, it clearly was dramatic. What was being described to the group in terms of what's happening to the San Jose Police Department.
I bet you their academies are going 90 miles an hour, and they're pushing them through, but after they get the job, they stay 6 months or a year, and
no, they leave.
A year.
They're training in the academies and then leaving. San Jose is just the college training ground for
what they did with their pensions.
That was clearly discussed by the speakers on this.
Oh, yeah.
Our county is the second lowest paid in the county, our dates I work with, and we have about a 10% to 11%. I think we spend like $60 million a year or something just on hiring and losing people.
Anyway, it was an interesting, I thought, session.
Okay. Richard?
I was at CII, and I would agree with Jerry's comments. I would say, if I remember correctly, the state of Wisconsin about the press, I also leaned over and told Tim his job wasn't threatened in any way, shape, or form by this guy.
I agree.
But It wasn't the very best conference. I thought it was good, though. They have a lot of speakers that are important and controversial sometimes, and truly a national wealth of information with all the different, state plans there. Contra Costa, we're not the smallest, but, you know, when you think about it, we're not that big, and CII has got a lot of the states are there, and some of the big corporates, and the endowments now are there, but not as full voting members. But remember, endowments sometimes got lots of big money.
Ask Harvard.
And I've hit no hammer on that. But two other things that came up is I did talk to Jeff Mahoney, who is the capital CII's person who goes up to Congress and talks and everything. And he really thought, well, was the government shut down? This last week. Yeah, it was going to happen. He was just shocked. And
well, he's
just,
right.
No, but I mean, he just said it was happened. Ordained. It was going to happen. The other thing is, I know it was a casual conversation, but I was talking about compliance officers, and everybody's on that thing to have compliance. And there was a discussion that we may be better protected as a board if our compliance officer was an outsider, and then that would avoid an insider type of conflict type of thing. It certainly was ringing with some of the smaller ones that, every penny counts as far as their budgets go. But even some of the big players were talking about it. It just may give you a little, these people start talking about spinning around and different things come in place and ties and everything. And they talked about like having this third party do it, and it would give you some protection because they would have no allegiance to the person, to the fund, which is what they're supposed to be, because they say sometimes the compliance officer, and they actually were talking some kind of examples where there can be a lot of conflict with like the chief executive officer, with the board of directors, it was just food for thought. I think about it, because with all this stuff, I think compliance officers and what they do is going to become more and more important and affect our lives as trustees more or affect other people's lives. So it just made sense at the time. And these are people who have no qualms about some of these funds. They got money to burn. They could hire 12 compliance officers. But they just talked about hey, it gives you a little bit, In other words, you hang the compliance officer if it goes wrong. But rather than internal, there's a certain logic, I think, to it. And I don't know how much we were going to spend or anything, but they seem to think that you can find people that are, do it as their job type of thing. Law firms, that's what they were. They did mention it, and I just thought I'd throw it out for food for thought for us. That was it. Otherwise, Chicago was beautiful weather.
It was.
Unbelievable.
I know everybody's blood sugar is dropping, but there was one other panel I sat in. It was very interesting. Small to mid-cap activism is what they were talking about. And the three panel members basically ran the gamut from, we're here to talk to you about some things you might want to do with your company and maybe maximize your... to the last guy who is, we're here to measure the drapes in your office. It was just an incredible scheme of people that basically say, we're not in here to discuss. We're going to make this company better value, and we're here to tell you how we're going to take it over. What have you got planned for lunch? It was pretty cutthroat.
I didn't go to that.
Value here, and we're going to get it out.
Oh, okay.
Well, the compliance officer discussion is an appropriate one to have right now because we are close to filling the position. Now, I don't know if the compliance officer that you're talking about would do the same thing that we're talking about, setting up on an internal basis to look at IRS regulations, calculations, 960 hours at the county. We may be talking about two different positions, an outside compliance officer and an inside.
When you brought up like the with the 960 hours and all that, that's not what they're talking about. A lot of it's Dodd-Frank.
No, our compliance is going to be doing different things. And the board did approve that position. We're calling it a compliance officer, but it's retirement fund compliance, not investment compliance.
It's more internal audit.
Right.
Yeah, it's more internal.
Dodd-Frank had something. It wasn't just, they were talking compliance officer, but the real point of it was the step back.
Yes.
That's all I, and I'm always looking to.
Well, we can do that.
Putting a layer of insulation between me and jail.
We've talked about internally about we'll have a compliance officer, but some of these things we may want an outside auditor to perform some of the jobs anyway, rather than having an inside person do it. So we are kind of looking at that along the same lines.
Apropos of our earlier discussion, I was contacted late yesterday via
Bolivia
on a phone.
I received an email from Paladin Investments indicating that they had not been at recent board meetings at Milliman's direction and had indicated an interest in a certain fund.
Do you think?
And I am forwarding that information to Tim Price. I haven't done that yet because I know he's on the road. Right. I'm just going to bounce him that email.
I got a phone call to follow up on it, and I told him to contact him.
I'm pleased that I'm not on his mailing list.
I'm not either. I know.
I hadn't been to any conferences, but I did sleep at a Holiday Inn last night.
Yeah, any beers with
anybody? That I had been contacted. I'm not going to make a response to that. Of course, I'm just going to bounce it to Tim. That's the end of my report.
But the interesting thing I should say is that they have been told, either by Milliman or Tim, that we are kind of in the review process and they should not be contacting board members.
Yeah, I thought
we've told them this.
It sounded like there was a quiet period if we were evaluating an investment, and I just thought, well, gosh gee whiz, I just read all these board packet materials. I'm certain this is, you know, not what I'm supposed to be doing. So anyway.
They're working themselves out of an opportunity.
Apparently,
right?
Right.
That's what they're doing.
They're going to get into that Bolivian hedge fund.
No, they don't do that stuff.
They're missing the short list. They don't know it yet, but they're about to miss the short list.
Anyone else? Oh, yeah. Deborah?
So I spent 4 days at Wharton in the advanced investment training.
You looked really a lot sharper to me today.
Yeah. No. Great conference. I love the people at Wharton, the professors, the economics and finance professors there are teaching it at a very high level. It's apparent that they do have to continuously bring themselves back down to our levels when they're teaching. Sometimes they go off on tangents and everybody's going, what? But overall, I highly recommend that program. It's a great program. I've been to three of them.
You've been to three?
Yeah, I've been to all three.
Wow.
The real estate and alternatives program goes every other summer, so it'll occur again next July. And then the first part of the course is in May of every year.
That's money management?
It's the first part of investment management, yeah.
Yeah.
So they cover a wide variety of things. I'm not going to go into detail because speaking of blood sugar dropping. They did a hedge funds, an alternative section. They do an investment policy section. They go through all of the fundamentals of, the basics of calculations through the risk analysis. What's interest risk? What's price risk? A lot of bond. There was a heavy bond presence in this course. In fact, I think it was almost a whole day. They did foreign bonds. They did real estate. They touched on real estate. Didn't do a lot on real estate. Talked about emerging markets, international and global investing a lot. And so I'll take asset allocation. They did macroeconomic monitoring, performance analysis, and manager evaluation. So all those things inside of 4 days, pretty intense. There's a case study that you have to do.
Yeah, what was your case study?
What was the case study? They changed it up this time.
Did your team come out good?
Yeah, well, they didn't have the, you didn't present this time.
Oh.
Yeah, so the first class, you actually, your team has to present on the case study.
Mm-hmm.
This time, oh, it was on a, it was on a nonprofit, like a college endowment fund, and the CIO was presenting to the board on a variety of new investments that the investment committee had considered, and it was a very long, lengthy, like 8 pages of text that you had to read, and then you sort of had to poke holes in all of the things that he was presenting to the board. But it was gone over in class, and it, we did the case analysis of it together in groups, but then the next day we went over it in class, but there wasn't presentation on it like in the first class, which I think to some extent people didn't put as much energy into it because they knew nobody had to present, so like nobody had to be on the hook for it.
That's
so.
Right.
But anyway, great conference, lots of things, you know, tracking error, R2, you know, R-squared, and all of those. They went over beta again, some of the things they went over in the first class. If you haven't been to an intense investment session, I think, Gabe, you went to the first one?
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty intense, but there's a lot of good stuff in there. The next thing I had to say, okay, so while I was in the interest of full disclosure, based on our presentation today, I did have dinner with the Emerald people. Just more of a personal, we get along great, and had talked to them about coming to Wharton a few months back when we were out there in Pennsylvania, and they said, please give us a call, we'd love to update you. So there was nothing really of any great importance talked about. We talked about a lot of Amish people and some of the things that go on in there, where they're
at.
Did
you go pick up eggs?
We didn't go pick up eggs. They just met me for an hour.
We had dinner.
We had dinner, oh. Yeah. Then the next thing is that Gabe and I were at, we were down in San Diego last week. for the Milliman Conference, and that was very interesting. A lot of presentation from money managers, various different money managers, presenting on different topics. Overall, the theme that I took away from it is a sort of a movement away from standard, you know, the modern portfolio theory, and into new ways of looking at investment with respect to global investing. I thought there was quite a bit on the global investing, which means U.S. and everywhere, kind of looking at it all as a big picture rather than domestic versus international versus, you know, the others. So that's all I have.
Okay. Marilyn, you have something?
No. The only thing is for new board members, CalIPRS has changed. They work with Stanford to do the annual trustee training at spring break in March. Stanford has had some issues now, I guess, with trying to get the space and the availability, so now it will be held in August. So I think the first week in August. We'll give you the new dates once it comes out, but don't put them on March.
The one that gave in... That's the one to go to.
So yeah, Wharton. Be in
the Stanford one, yeah.
We'll have
no, the Wharton. The Wharton, Wharton, I think, is the higher.
Oh, yeah, the higher.
I went to the Stanford one, and Wharton is just way beyond that.
Well, it's investment. Stanford is just about trustees in general.
Right. Exactly.
Wasn't Stanford actually, there's some former trustees do the training?
Yeah. That
they aren't actually professors or never have been professors. Right. Yeah, it's not in the same. Wharton, you're talking to people that... I wouldn't call them deans, but they're senior professors who control the program and everything. That's always been top notch.
Yeah.
And that is the one if you have the time to go to.
So we'll have the schedule and the calendar out. But typically,
you do have to take a test too. Okay.
I think it's your background. You got to think about your background, where you're coming from, when you're going into these. You know, and for me, because I was never a business major in college, and you were, so you're way, you know, you. So for me, I think, you know, Stanford and then Berkeley and then go to Wharton, because you'll get a better basis for understanding what goes on Wharton. Wharton is advanced, and unless you have some business background, you'll just get mumbled in your head after about a day and a half, and it's really hard. Although they do a wonderful job at the end of every day reviewing what's gone. Jeffy, when he comes in, he reviews everything that has happened in the day, and he breaks it down, and you walk out of there with an understanding, but the application is different. I mean, so
I think the difference there is that they are professional teachers.
Yes.
And they know how to teach the material versus, you know, when you're...
I hope it's better than the guy from Wharton that taught me econometrics when I was a junior. I didn't give him high marks as an instructor, I can tell you that.
Is that why you dropped out of business, went to law?
No, I stayed with it, actually. Stayed with that degree. Yeah.
Did you get a business degree?
Business economics.
Really?
Yes.
Okay. Wharton will be okay for you.
But I do agree with what you're saying, because there were maybe about a third of the people in the room in the first session that I went to, the beginning one, that were completely lost because they had not really ever had any business background.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you, everyone.
Good
morning. Karen, I think you made a wise choice in going to another meeting.
Lunch is here.